The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
With the rental market proving ever more precarious and homebuyers snapping up any available property, more people are considering emigration for better housing options. Will that attitude pass, or are we potentially in for a sustained spike in emigration? Well, to get some insight into this, I'm joined now by the CEO of iCare Housing and co-founder of the Irish Mortgage Holders Organisation, David Hall, and by Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College in Dublin, Brendan Kelly. Good morning and welcome to you both. David, first of all, is this a temporary spike that with housing for all, et cetera, it will pass?
I think the word temporary and housing are sort of a little bit odd at the moment. I think we've got a big challenge, Pat. The numbers of houses being built and starting to be built is still don't meet the demand. We have a major challenge. And, you know, one of your parts of your introduction there was said very eloquently, which was we talk about renters in the context of renters versus mortgage holders. We don't have a normal rental market. We every single day in the last 6 weeks, every day without fail, I was spoken to a landlord and multiple landlords each day, all asking me would I buy through iCare Housing their portfolio of properties, both private rental properties and HAP properties. And only this morning before this call, I was on to one of the lenders looking to see, can we take over two HAP tenancies where people are exiting the market. Nobody has certainty. Nobody has security. We do not have like European examples given of 25-year and 30-year leases. We don't have any level of certainty. And the Banking and Payments Federation report clearly now shows that the average first-time buyer is paying €1,400. Yeah. Now, against the mortgage of 1,000, we have a major. This is
So it's cheaper. It's cheaper to find a house for yourself and buy it with a mortgage than it is to rent, which is a really anomalous situation. But tell me about the landlords exiting the market. What reasons are they giving? Are they just cashing in as we see house prices increasing all the time, and they're figuring it's a bubble that will burst? Let's get out. Or are there other more structural reasons?
I think the more structural reasons, the ones that I'm speaking to are more structural reasons whereby there's tax issues, there's difficulty with tenants, and not all tenants are angels. The vast majority are good tenants who want to stay in a house and a home and have some level of certainty. Many are now under pressure from a landlord perspective, looking at the difficulty in trying to remove antisocial behaviour, remove anyone who's not paying rent is becoming very, very difficult. Many are going on in years, have said, I've had enough of this, I'm 50 plus, I'm 60 plus. I have no interest in fighting with tenants anymore. And at every hand's turn, they feel, I'm not saying they're right, but they feel, and it's irrelevant what we view it as, Pat, because they're exiting the market. The numbers and statistics and figures are very, very evident. They are exiting the market and in favour of larger institutional landlords, yeah, which I don't think is a good idea. So this is a major crisis. I hear you regularly on this topic and guest Javon, and I think there's a deep-seated frustration at this stage to say, why can't we just get on and build houses? This is not brain surgery. We're looking to build houses. We have many builders looking at 8% mezzanine finance, you know, trying to set up who is going to be able to buy a property in the next couple of years with the uncertainty and the cost of living that exists at the moment. No one has certainty. One of the developments in Selbridge, 30 properties, normally all 30 will be sold off market. Six have been sold so far. So every hand's turn, the market is radically changed.
Is that because they're pricing people out of the market, or, as you say, because there's a little bit of uncertainty? I mean, if you're in the Leixlip area, you're talking about Intel. Some people are going to take the package, you know, to not work for 3 months and spread their pay over a 12-month period, which seems to be a kind of a sensible way that Intel have coped with, the crunch as they are seeing it. But you're not going to buy a house in that kind of uncertainty.
And I'm going to make an understatement now. I don't like banks and vulture funds. But just have a look at it from a bank's perspective. Pat Kenny makes an application today. That bank has no idea what Pat Kenny's situation is going to be in January, with an average application time of 4 months. 4 months an average application time. And anyone who's gone through that process recently in the last 18 months, as I have done, it is a torturous experience. And things change. All the costs are changing. The stress testing is changing. Yeah. The interest rates, we hear another 0.5%. It is impossible. It is like a moving ship in a sea. And it's impossible for anybody to be able to safely lend money. But this is a supply and demand.
But there are things that the government could have done, but they didn't because of maybe populist forces at work. But the idea that a bank lends you money on, you know, a substantial asset, and then you default on the payment, and it takes them 8 years, 10 years to get their hands on the property, which they have provided the money for. I mean, that is a crazy situation. We talked before about the jingle mail in America, whereby if you can't pay your mortgage, you give the bank back the keys, you walk away, you forfeit probably whatever little deposit you had. But at least everyone is sorted. The tenant or the home owner, as it were, walks away without, you know, a burden of a loan hanging over them. The bank gets the property and can sell it at a time of their choosing. It's simple. Why don't we do it?
It is simple. It is simple. The difficulty is that we have a banking system that has an obsessive compulsive disorder of trying to torture sinners as they see those who can't pay money. I'm in favor of repossessions that are necessary. I'm not in favor of unnecessary repossessions where lenders are reasonable in relation to restructuring loans. It is absolutely obscene that somebody would chase a debtor for monies when someone can't pay that money but could pay maybe half or 60% of the loan.
Yeah,
but so that loan can be sold to a vulture fund for 50% 2 months later.
Yeah, they have been restructuring. But, you know, if you do that in every case, well, then why would anyone pay a mortgage? You know, you might as well.
No.
You know, they're going to do a deal with me and I'll get it for half price.
No, but it's not done a deal. No. This business of doing a deal is a myth. This business of somebody just randomly sitting down and negotiating with you over the table to say, let's haggle, that's not how this process works. The process is a very prescriptive process, which looks under the bonnet of your financial allowances. The insolvency service, one of the best things that's been created through the insolvency service, has been fixed expenditures that you're allowed to spend. Like, this is like a camp of some shape or form where you're told how much you can spend on household goods. The balance of the money, the balance, not a haggling amount, not a negotiated amount, the balance and the full balance is paid towards your debt.
Yeah.
So it's a very prescriptive process. The jingle mail you referred to, Pat, many people might hand back their keys and would have done so in negative equity. No one's going to hand back their keys now. There's 23,000 people in long-term arrears before this new crisis begins, and an absolutely housing chaos. An absolute
now, by the
housing
way,
Armageddon.
You know, what I was suggesting there, the jingle mail, which is a clean way, and people just start again and off they go. When their circumstances improve, maybe they try to buy again. The problem here is if you walk away from the house that you're attempting to buy through a mortgage because your circumstances have disimproved, typically you'd be able to rent at a cheaper price. But as you pointed out, you can't.
Yeah.
You're going to face higher monthly expenditure if you abandon the house on the mortgage to try and get a rental property. Unless,
so
of course, you're downsizing dramatically.
But Pat, you're never going to leave. Nobody in mortgage arrears, and you ask the question, why would you pay a mortgage? If there's 23,000 people in long-term mortgage arrears, some of whom haven't paid for 5 to 10 years, still in a house, and I and many other people have been telling them there's a risk of losing their home, when actually it's proven that for some reason the banks have not taken a course of action. You can't get a repossession order unless you apply for one. It doesn't happen by magic. But why would somebody now in the current housing crisis, wanting to secure housing for their family, even contemplate leaving that property or handing back a property now? Nobody's going to exit any property in Ireland voluntarily at the moment.
The process of actually getting people to leave, even when they're in default and seriously in default, is so tortuous that, okay, they'll have this terrible anxiety hanging over them, but they must know in their bones that it'll take years for the bank to get them out.
Yeah, and look, I'm not saying that the process is good by any means. I think the process does an injustice to the genuine people who are in mortgage difficulty, who the lenders won't restructure the loans adequately and properly. There are a number of people there who are messers who have not paid, and they should be evicted. Mm-hmm. And we need to overhaul the entire repossession process to ensure that we have a fairness and balance. It can't be a free-for-all. We need to have fairness and balance.
Now, do you believe, David, that it is forcing people into emigration, you know, looking for those far-off green fields that Leo Varadkar talked about, you know, in some jurisdictions, that is so. There are rental systems that allow people a 25-year lease or whatever it might be. But there are others. I mean, when you talk about going to some of the capitals of Europe, the prices are pretty steep.
We were looking at a property to Ryecare Housing for social housing in Dublin City recently, and we would normally look for stuff off market. We don't compete in the normal marketplace when we get stuff that's offered. One of the auctioneers who offered us the property, the other person who was looking at engaging with them was a large multinational to buy it for their own staff. So creeping around the process are funds and investment funds, but there's also normal businesses, small businesses. Indeed, you know, the coffee shop in Rat Mines, where he has a 4-bedroom property. He's now using that for staff. Like, the entire dynamic has changed. It's absolute chaos when it comes to looking at property. People being exceptionally creative, and imagine a housing body, or indeed David Hall or somebody individually, out competing with a massive international company for an apartment in Dublin. so they can house some of their staff. So there's no point in trying to compete and say, come on over to Dublin, we give you a great job, we mightn't have anywhere for you to stay. As soon as you go on to Google and look for something to stay, so a lot of the larger companies are now quietly looking at securing properties themselves to ensure they've got somewhere to house key members of staff. A phenomenal level of competition that's going to completely burst the market.
All right. Well, you know, we've been taxing the various ministers for housing with ways in which to increase supply dramatically quickly. It does seem as if developers are, you know, crying poverty and they can't get, you know, the prices that they would need to get if they were to realise the book value of their asset, i.e. the land. But often, you know, the book value is far higher than what they actually paid for it. So, you know, they should just get on with it.
If you let me buy land and you allow me get planning on that land, then flip it on something else, you're just looking for trouble. And now is the time for the government to intervene and step in. This is an emergency. This is a crisis. No one needs any definition of that.
Okay, so if you've got permission, you build it or else you lose it.
You don't get.
In other words, you can't flip it.
You can't flip it on. Like, we're looking at a site in Talla at the moment, and we have an offer on a site in Talla for social housing. But those houses in Talla have been increased in value simply because of the property value, the land value, and the planning that was given on those land. Like, in the first instance, if I want to go to South Dublin Council and apply, unless I'm building social housing, I shouldn't be given, or affordable housing, I shouldn't be given permission in those properties or that land. And we need to intervene now, take over some of these developers, give them a fair profit, dictate the pace, do what was done in the 50s and build houses. If not, actually build houses would be a remarkable thing rather than the various policies that are discussed. And take these property companies over, take them over and build. And that's not a radical lefty view on things. This is an emergency. We have to find houses and homes for people to house them safely and securely, and we need to do it rather than talking about it.
David, thank you very much for joining us. David Hall, CEO of iCare Housing, co-founder of the Irish Mortgage Holders Organisation. Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College in Dublin. What is all of this doing, Brendan, to the 20-something mind?
Well, housing is always about far more than houses and, you know, more than a place to live. And David has spoken, you know, very eloquently there about crisis and chaos and so forth. But of course, this is a key period in people's lives. They're continuing education, they're finding work, they're maybe immigrating, they're maybe considering starting a family. So the implications socially and psychologically and emotionally are really quite extraordinary when we've this level of chaos and uncertainty in terms of home ownership. And we often talk about the, you know, the reification of owning a house in Ireland and how, you know, the rental market hasn't developed properly. But, you know, this is the situation we're in, and it has enormous symbolic, personal and emotional significance for people, and it's simply not happening.
Now, some of the figures that were quoted, that the population grew by 360,000 between 2016 and 2022, yet only 120,000 homes were built. But I'm thinking, you know, how many are single occupancy homes? Like, that gives you enough housing if there's three persons per home. So, you know, it's not as dramatic as those figures would like you to think, because they're not all singletons going in and, you know, enjoying their two-bed or three-bed houses or apartments.
No, but you see, there are all these distorting things happening. You have the average age of first-time home ownership gone up to 34 years of age, which is significantly higher than it was. And also a lot of research indicating that, you know, house sharing into adulthood, or sort of renting in a house share arrangement or living in a house share arrangement with other adults, isn't tremendously good for mental health in later life, that people value their own space and managing their own space and using this as a tool for self-realization. I mean, we use space, property, buildings as ways of building our lives and ways of building our future. And that's something that's not happening or is impaired or is delayed. And we also have to add in the delay that happened with COVID in relation to the self-realization of many people completing education, moving out of home. A lot of that went, you know, in the deep freeze for about 2 years there. So we are looking at a generation where their personal, professional and moral development is, if you like, changed. It's reshaped by a bunch of things, including COVID, including the extremely difficult housing situation and various other factors. So quite a lot of challenges for this age group.
Brendan, thank you very much for joining us. That's Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College in Dublin.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.